You are tuned into We Are Queer on WERU Community Radio Station 89.9 FM in Blue Hill. We Are Queer highlights the touching experiences from Maine's diverse LGBTQ+ community. From coming out stories to exploring a new chapter, We Are Q is a voice to the queer people of Maine, building empathy and understanding in our greater communities. I'm your host, Olivia Peruke, and I use she, her pronouns. This week, I'm interviewing Pepin Middlehauser, a staff member at WERU, on their experience of self-discovery.
My name is Pepin Middlehauser. I use he, they pronouns. I am a regular here at WRU, and I also host the Next Wave Radio Hour, which you were a co-host on for a while there.
I was, yes. Yes, I was. So I'm super excited to get into this conversation with you today about queerness and queer identity. Mm-hmm. I know that you've had, your kind of journey was maybe later in life, kind of.
It was. I didn't prepare much for this conversation. Like I wasn't thinking about it too hard, just because I think with something like identity and personal identity, it's not something that you prepare. It's something that you have in the moment because it's ever changing. I mean, obviously ever changing, ever evolving. So it's not something I wanted to prepare exactly. So I really came out to myself first. I think that was 2021 or so, somewhere around in there, quite recently. In the vast scheme of things. And it was just a few moments in combination where I kind of had big realizations of experiences that I've been having my whole life, feelings I've been having my whole life, that kind of it all clicked together and went, oh, this is something much bigger and much broader than I thought it was. This is a piece of my identity that I am now able to look at and put an identity on and understand better, which was a huge shift in my entire identity. Like I was very certain for a very long time that I was straight, that I was male, that I was, you know, I am white, but like, you know, I was that, you know, heterosexual white male person who has a lot of work to do to, you know, make up for the rest of the world and make up for the rest of men in the world. And to have this kind of moment of maybe I'm something more than a man. Maybe I am more than straight. Maybe this is, you know, it's not as cut and dry as I thought it was. It's not as straightforward as I thought it was. It's actually way more complicated, and it's going to take a really long time for me to think through and figure out and feel through. Was extremely gratifying and amazing and beautiful and so difficult and so scary at the same time of having my foundation shaken like that.
Mm. Thank you so much for sharing. I think for a lot of people who, you know, have always agreed with kind of what society has told them to be, if they, you know, were born a man and feel very much at home being called a man, I think it can be really jarring for people to realize that there's other of us who don't have that. And you can have that realization whenever in your lifetime. So I think for you, like, first of all, just it's very brave. It's not easy to kind of have that foundation shaken. And I'd love to dive a little bit deeper in what that actually means to you to have kind of your identity, you know, kind of put in a blender. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, what does this mean anymore? What was that process like for you?
It was scary. It was difficult. And it was very empowering. All at the same time, which was so many opposing emotions to feel all together. A large amount of fear of that process because of fear of acceptance, fear of feeling like I have a place in the world, feeling like I have a place I belong in the world, for sure. And I know a lot of people in similar circumstances feel that way. It's very common. I grew up in a family that was very accepting, very back to the land. You know, I lived off the grid my whole childhood, you know, pretty left-leaning politically. My family's non-religious, you know, it was a very, some might call it like kind of an idyllic childhood, like, you know, frolicking through the woods as a five-year-old. And yet it was still super scary to come out to them. I was sure that it was going to be okay logically. I was positive that everything was going to be all right and they were going to be fine and love me just the way I was. And it was still terrifying. And, you know, every time I make that leap to come out to somebody or inform someone about my pronouns or my gender or my sexuality, it happens every time of just a little bit of fear. And it doesn't happen often because visually, I'm very straight passing. I'm very, you know, masculine passing. It doesn't really come across that there's anything more going on with me.
And knowing your background a bit, you paint this picture that it is more of that idyllic moment of, if anyone was going to accept me, like, this would be like the type of family you would probably pick. But yet, yeah. But there's still this fear. And I'm wondering if you can maybe point to, like, where that developed. Is that just being a human in society, that there's still this homophobia or, you know, the binaries that have been played upon us? What was that you feel like maybe made you have that fear with this realization?
Oh man, definitely. I mean, modern culture was very much the catalyst for that. I grew up male, and again, in kind of this, you know, very alternative family and lifestyle, and still this feeling of like, it was definitely like, you know, internalized homophobia put upon me. In the sense of, I have had many queer friends over the years and loved them and accepted them, and it hasn't been ever an issue. But whenever the lens turned towards me and the sort of life that I was allowed to live based on these thoughts that were placed upon me as a child, I was never going to be allowed to do that myself. I was never going to be able to. It was not acceptable for me to be in a gay relationship or anything like that, or to find male-bodied people attractive. And it definitely has always been there. It was the sort of thing when I came out finally and was talking to the people close to me about it all, many of the first responses were, oh, good, you finally figured it out. We've known this whole time. And this kind of thought of, you know, yeah, all of those years of being like, you know, oh, that female actor is really attractive. Oh, that male actor is also really attractive. You know, not everybody has those thoughts, apparently. You know, it's not just an appreciation of the beauty of somebody. It was more than that.
I think for a lot of people who are listening or maybe aren't part of the LGBTQ+ community or whatnot, this idea of kind of this internal reckoning, it's like, what is that? Where is that moment? Because sometimes it is like someone has been married for 40 years and all of a sudden they're like, I'm gay.
Right.
And that's a really interesting moment to have. So I'm wondering, for you were saying it happened a little bit later in your life, kind of 2021, like what was the spark? What was the things that started to get you to question that internalized belief about yourself?
It was one specific moment where I was in my apartment with a bunch of friends and we were talking about music, and I love music. I work at WRU, I obviously do. And a friend of mine found out that I hadn't really ever seen very much Bruce Springsteen. And I was like, yeah, I haven't heard very much of it. I know who he is, of course. And so she pulled up a music video. I can't name the specific song off the top of my head, but it's one of the famous music videos from Bruce Springsteen. And I was watching it and I was having these moments of, it wasn't just an attraction. It was a feeling like, this is a space where I feel safe and comfortable watching this guy who looked so safe and so comfortable in himself and with his whole band and with his wife on stage with him and all of this. And it was kind of a click in the back of my brain that was, it really doesn't matter at all the gender of somebody, the visual sexual representation of somebody. What matters is the way I feel. And that's it. And that feeling and that thought stuck there for a while. And then later on that night, I was thinking about it harder and I was like, what was that? What was that that clicked in my brain? And thinking more and more about it, it was like, that's really been there the whole time. That wasn't a moment of realization. That was a moment of finally seeing something within me that has always been there and finally being able to recognize it and accept it in just that briefest of moments. Which has then turned into a much longer process of believing it and accepting it in myself and asking others to believe that and accept that.
I totally understand that sort of that push and pull, and especially speaking to the having queer friends and then but feeling like it's not for me. Like I felt that way, and sometimes I still struggle with that. So I'm wondering, you know, as you've kind of been a couple more years of coming to terms with yourself, is this this practice that's ongoing? Do you still have to make an effort to feel safe and comfortable in who you truly are?
Constantly. This is definitely always ongoing. The one thing is, though, even though it's been not, you know, a few years, like not a huge amount of time that I've really been considering this and working within myself on all of this, it's gotten easier every time, just a little bit easier, of having a feeling or a thought and the immediate reaction being, well, yeah, but that's not okay, you know, you shouldn't be having that. And then being able to go, hang on, you know, we've thought about this, it actually is okay, you know, you are allowed to have your emotions and feelings and thoughts, and it's not hurting anyone, and especially not hurting you. It is constantly ongoing.
I find that constant acceptance, you know, I think that's something that people don't maybe always realize, like, especially from the outside, you know, we're this sort of, hopefully society is moving into more of an acceptance sphere of queerness and what it means to be in a queer relationships. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that there isn't still that internal struggle. And, you know, I think like just bringing that to light for people who don't interact with the community as much or realize like, it's not always like rainbows and sparkles and like self-love all the time. Like there's still those moments of struggle and panic. And because there are spaces in the world that still aren't safe and still aren't accepting. And I wanted to circle back to this kind of point that you had that I'm really curious about as also a straight passing person. And to anyone who doesn't really understand what straight passing means, it's basically when your outside appearance, no one would question your identity. So generally, you're just kind of the like plain stereotyped like person. And, you know, so from first blush, someone wouldn't ever question like, I'm gay or like you're queer. So for me, that's sometimes can be really a blessing in spaces. But at times, I think there it can also be frustrating. So I'm wondering, like, as someone who grew up male, still is very male presenting, how is that kind of straight passing or interactions, has that complicated issues with your identity more than maybe have helped it in some ways?
It has in some ways. I feel like I, with being, you know, male presenting, male passing, and the pronouns that feel most comfortable with me being he, they, it really doesn't come up ever. It doesn't actively, you know, cause me to think about it or feel uncomfortable on a daily basis. Because, you know, people's assumptions are usually close enough or correct, you know? And I feel lucky that that's the case, but it certainly does still come up in the sense of usually interacting with people of an older generation who this is more new to them, and this sort of, you know, depth and spectrum of gender and sexuality. And it is always based on assumptions coming up. I do also run into it in my own family, which certainly isn't a lack of acceptance, but is just a, you know, a lot of my family has known me for 28 years a specific way, or 26 years a specific way. And in the last couple of years, that, you know, has shifted and that has changed. And, you know, that's not an easy shift to make right away. But that it was that never lasts long. There's always, you know, that sort of correction you know, taking on of responsibility for getting something wrong and correcting it.
And could you maybe give an example of what exactly wrong? Is that more just misgendered pronouns or other assumptions?
Well, for me, misgendered pronouns often don't come up at all, you know? And so it's usually someone referring to me as a man, you know, you're a guy, you know what this is like. And I'm like, well, I kind of do, because I grew up as a guy for a long time, but I'm not really that anymore. That's not really what I think of myself as, or what I want to be thought of as. But it's tricky because it's a spectrum, and it's kind of fluid, and it's kind of, you know, some days I do feel way more like a man than I do other days. But that sort of language can matter, you know, for sure, of assuming something in that moment, and even just for a split second and very, just for a little bit, making me feel like it's not okay to be who I feel like I am. Even if that's not what you mean at all.
You are tuned in to WERU Community Radio Station, and you are listening to We Are Queer. I'm your host, Olivia Prug, and you are currently tuned in to a conversation I'm having with Pepin Middlehauser on their coming out story. You just heard about their feelings around gender and identity, and how important language can be in making people feel accepted. We continue with their reflections on being non-binary.
So for you, obviously we've kind of danced around the topic a little bit, but for you, it's your kind of queerness is something to you, like that you feel like that's me, or is it more just this nebulous, like, in between zone that can't be named?
For sure. The closest I can get in the language that fits me the best in this exact moment is bisexual and non-binary. Non-binary is the more difficult one for me, for sure. I don't feel like, you know, I've found the definition of the term gender fluid and, you know, gender queer and those sorts of things, which are a little bit more shifting than just non-binary. Those might be closer. I'm not really sure yet. I'll get back to you.
Sounds good.
But the closest that I ever got to really feeling like I identified with something I heard was a joke. And it was this guy I saw on an Instagram reel, and he was saying, you know, I know that I'm something other than a man, but I still do always want to press the button at a sidewalk crossing, especially if it's already been pressed.
I feel like I sent this video to you.
I think you did. And I think I watched that and I went, oh yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
This is an amazing queer English content creator who's also bisexual and talks a lot about gender too. So a really funny guy, funny bloke, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it is interesting, that sort of idea of the push and pull versus, like, and for anyone kind of saying, I guess what is it more manly to want to push the button? Is that
I guess that's manly. Yeah, I guess that's masculine in some way.
The assertiveness. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a lot of those more masculine, like, you know, instinctual stuff of being. I mean, the pretty negative ones that have been instilled in me of, like, you know, I should be less emotional. I should be, you know, stronger and tougher and all of that sort of stuff, which I'm actively working against every day to get rid of those. And then some of the less toxic sort of traits, potentially, of, well, masculinity is what you make of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
The definition is ever changing because it's what you make of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure if I can really put anything on top of that. It's, you know, my brand of masculinity, and non-binary energy is my own brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is true for a lot of people who question their, like, not feeling comfortable with a certain label, which is often the pronouns have become more of the, I guess, that kind of intro to, like, hey, maybe don't assume this about me. But at the same time, like, I think even if you do, like I've always considered myself a female. I've never thought of myself anything less than a female. But I absolutely have very masculine traits at times. And I think that there's always that balance between us. But what it really is in this space, and I think, you know, for us trying to continue to have this space be open is this, it's really about how you view yourself and what that means to you. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only thing that matters. And, you know, language will evolve. Like we were just, you were saying, like, I don't know how we're going to feel. And I think that's a, it's a constant conversation. I mean, we're always learning about ourselves. That never stops. That's kind of part of life. And
yeah.
This is just one facet of that life that we live and how we get to choose to be or express ourselves is, it's a lot.
Yeah, totally. My interests in my hobbies over my life are going to shift a little bit. My interests in the work that I do is going to shift a little bit. The interests that I have and the stuff I like to do is going to shift a little bit. And I feel like that is coming from the root of who I am, which is always going to be shifting and changing just a little bit.
Yeah.
Over the course of my life.
Very, yes, wise words. And kind of just wrapping up here, I just was curious, how did Down East Maine influence any of this for you? Being a Down East Mainer, because that's a certain breed of Mainer.
Yeah.
And like, and now, what does that mean?
Oh, man. Well, it was definitely very, it was very difficult early in my life. And I didn't recognize that difficulty until after I came out. But the sort of remoteness of the communities here, the distance between them, the incredible division politically and socially that exists in Maine, or a lot of parts of Maine, definitely, at the very least, pushed some of that, the toxic masculine thinking on me in some ways. And also just didn't inform me that there was any other option for me. I only knew that there was one way to be for me, and that was all I knew. There wasn't anything else for me to even consider being. And it wasn't until I went to college, and I stayed in Down East Maine for college. We went to the same school, College of the Atlantic.
That's right.
And there's a big queer community at College of the Atlantic. It's a very alternative school. It is welcoming to people who are generally outsiders in a lot of other communities in the world. And, you know, the sort of people that might, you know, be called weirdos or something like that are kind of at home more there than other places, at least in my opinion. That's the way that I felt. And that was the first time that I was really seeing people who were different than the way that I thought people had to be, because I didn't know anything else. And that was the first time I was like, you know, in my interests or in my, what I feel like I have to do in my life, you know, I don't necessarily have to, the goal isn't for me to find a good job and make all the money that I can and do all this stuff. It is to be happy doing what I'm doing. That was the first time I thought that in my life. And the idea of being able to do what I want to do and be who I want to be started there in Down East Maine. So there are those pockets of communities that if you can find them and be a part of them, they are hugely empowering. And just recently I've started, you know, of course, getting involved with Pride in the various areas. And there's a lot more Pride in the area than there ever was before. You know, a lot of stuff cropping up in Ellsworth and Bar Harbor and Bangor. And a lot of these places have been going a long time, but they are so much bigger than they've ever been before and so much more visible than they've ever been before that it's making a huge difference. Definitely for me. I know for a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. And I think like what you're saying is very true, that, you know, to have the exposure or just to like understand that there are other ways of being, you know, is eye opening. And I know it was for myself. You know, I was, you know, not quite Down East, but still in Maine. And, yeah. You know, I think it took me to high school before I even heard of the term bisexual or even realized like there was other than just like gay or lesbian or straight. I was like, there's more options.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Because I was like, straight doesn't feel right, but lesbian doesn't either.
Yeah.
So I think like that is it's part of the exploring and process and self-discovery into the unknown in a way. So I guess kind of just closing up, if you have any closing thoughts about your experience or journey with yourself that you will continue to have moving forward. But any maybe little words of wisdom or tidbits for anyone listening who maybe is in a similar spot to you, or just, yeah, or anything you feel like you want to shout to the ether.
There's one story that is very small and just a moment in my life recently, but it meant a lot, and I've thought about it a lot since. I went to a wedding down in Virginia last year for some very good college friend, and it was an amazing time. I got to catch up with a lot of other college friends and do all this stuff. But at the wedding, it was definitely, there's a lot of people I didn't know. It was a difficult thing. And I decided on this trip I was going to wear, it was one of the first times I've done this, and I've been wearing it a lot since, but like a rainbow colored watch band. And that's been kind of my only external visual thing that I might not be straight, that I might, you know, be something other than a straight guy. And so I wore this to this wedding, and there was another person there, a male-bodied person, and their fingernails were painted. And so I kind of naturally gravitated towards them and started talking to them. And eventually it kind of was like this thing of like, you know, I noticed your watch band. I was like, I noticed your nails. And it's like, started talking about it. It's like, you know, yeah, we're very straight, you know, male presenting. And we're doing these little bits of just like visual affirmation of who we are, not just for ourselves, but for anyone else. Like it worked for each other of like, I saw that on them and was like, that's awesome. That makes me feel better about who I am. And did the same for them. And I hope that little things like that, you know, cues and little stuff like that, that can just empower people in small ways around us to be like, okay, that person is being themselves out and around. That's a brave thing. Maybe that can help me be a little bit more brave.
Thank you to today's guest, Pepin Middlehauser, who allowed us to see that our sense of self is constantly evolving. Today's music was Glow by Scott Buckley. You can learn more at www.scottbuckley.com.au. And that is all for We Are Queer. My name is Olivia Peruk, and we will be back next month. If you have feedback for the show or want to get in touch, email info@weru.org with WERQ in the subject line. Thank you for being with us, and remember to stay curious and be kind. Stay tuned for more public affairs broadcasting.